Hey, Joy Scouts. This is the podcast for January, New Year. It's 2020. And this podcast is a place for people to talk about what they're doing, for people to share their skills, their insights on how they do their skills. It's a learning lab of sorts. I want to hear everyone's opinions on how to learn and what they're actually doing and seeing the results that they get out of those beliefs and those practices. I want to share what I'm learning this year about learning, about my own insights. It's going to be a lot more consistent this year because otherwise we're going to miss out on a lot of good learning and a lot of good progress that can be made. So we want to hear what people have to share, and that's the Joy Scouts once again. So this episode is going to be somewhat just conversation-based only. I'm not going to really go off on any tangents particular today other than this intro. So what we had today was an interview with my friend Guitar Louie, and he is a guitarist that posts on Instagram. Right now, let's see, I don't know how many followers he has, but he deserves more recognition, underrated. He's really good at guitar. He's been playing since he was young, and we kind of get into his story. It's just kind of mind-blowing, and it's, I feel like my interview style is a little rough, and I want to get better at it, but I really appreciate Louis sharing his story, and so it's very interesting. And we go into that somewhat, and I hope you can get some insights on learning itself. I think what we got into this episode was some of the big aspects of learning. One being motivation. You hear about his motivation from a young age, and I didn't dive too much into it, but the first few minutes he talks about his motivation as far as avoiding some troubles in his life by music, and his uncle being someone who showed him that music, and then the mentors in his life. He had four mentors, he said. And then we didn't get too much into his process of learning. That's something I do want to get into in more episodes, talking to people about their process and how they practice. And then there's another interview, and I kind of caught myself trying to record this, and then it didn't record, so I kind of cut out part of the interview. But we have an interview with a man named Chris, and I'll do a short summary beforehand to kind of go over what got missed right before his interview. And then I'll summarize this podcast and talk about what we're going to do a little bit more in the future and what I want to do in the future. So here we go, Joy Scouts. Thanks for coming to the premier learning lab / playground, I want to say, for some reason. And let's just get this culture of ours in America, let's get all the best people sharing their secrets, and let's improve people's skills, and let's get everybody to at least a good level in all these skills. Mediocrity has no place when there is so much ability, so much knowledge, and so much to share and discover and learn. And I want people to be consistent, taking action, and I want to demonstrate the process that that takes as well. So that, and a lot of these people that I'm interviewing too, they're smaller channels or people that aren't quite achieving what they want to achieve, and I hope to add value to them by inspiring them to go even further and higher and breaking through some of their success barriers to be even more successful. So hopefully we can have that exchange. All right, let's get into it. This is the interview with Guitar Louie, and let's hear a little bit of this conversation.
Introduce yourself to people. What's your name and like what do you do?
My name is Luis Lopez. I'm actually an immigrant from Jalisco, Mexico. And you know, I really like music. I was kind of brought over here against my will, but at the end of it works out, you know, I'm meeting a lot of people out here who have kind of the same vision as me and music and everything going on with it. And, you know, the movement of it, because as you can tell, like, if you look at what music's out there, whether it's pop, rap, rock, whatever it is, it has a movement and it's moving.
Yeah.
And I feel like I got on the train just at the right time.
Wow. Okay. It's like a lot to unpack there. Like, what do you mean you were brought here against your will? Like, that's like you were in Jalisco, like as a kid, and then you were brought here, or like, what do you mean?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. You know how the whole Trump shit's going on right now. You know, like, when I was a kid, you know, my grandmother just said, hey, you know what, you're going with your parents. And I'm like, who the fuck are my parents, you know, because I was raised by my grandma as a mom and dad, you know, so
yeah.
I was brought into this, the U.S., like, again, it was just something she said, you know, it's better for you. I told her, no, I don't think so. And she's like, yeah, you know, it's better for you to go over there and you have opportunities. And I
right.
said, you know, okay, and I was brought here, and, you know, music has always been a thing even since then, so I just kind of brought it with me.
How old were you when you were over there, or when you left?
I was, like, probably 8 years old, dude.
Wow, and you were playing guitar then, or just music in general?
No, I had an uncle who, whenever I went to his house, he would be playing guitar, he'd be playing, like, you know, from Led Zeppelin to System of a Down, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's the coolest shit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And I kind of got into it, and I told him, hey, you know what, let me borrow your guitar, but he always would be like, you know, you're going to fuck it up if you borrow it, so
yeah.
I couldn't get to it, you know?
Yeah, so when did you get your first guitar then, that was yours?
Actually, my grandmother one day, she's like, you're going with your fucking dad. And I'm like, who the fuck is that? I don't know who that is. She's like, you're going to the other side of the world. And she's like, you know, you have a better future there. And I came over here into Texas, Dallas.
Yeah.
And things didn't work out for about 2 years. And my dad was like, hey, you know, you're going to get your ass back with your mom, you know, like, and I'm like, who the fuck's my mom? I don't know who that is. So I was in California. And that was a year later, so I was like maybe 9 or 10. And then they said, you know, I moved in with her to a little room she was renting, you know, very like fucked up and everything, but it was fun. There was this guy moving out his guitars, and he's like, hey, I told him, hey, man, that's a really nice guitar, you know, like how much will you sell that to me? He's like, yeah, man, I don't even use it. Yeah, give me $20 for it. I was like about 12 or 11.
Yeah.
I took the guitar, you know.
What kind of guitar was it?
It was a shitty Fender, you know, those ones that you could buy at Walmart.
Yeah, but it was probably worth $20 though at the time. You're probably super stoked to have
it. Yeah, it was a Squire, it was a shitty brand, you know.
Yeah. I have like a replica Fender that I use because I can't afford a Stratocaster, so it's a replica Stratocaster, but I like it.
Yeah. Something you get cheap at a fucking Target or a Walmart, dude, like 10
yeah.
years ago. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I guess with that then, man, that's a really interesting story. So basically you were in Mexico, brought here against your will, with people you didn't even know. They're your parents. And then all of a sudden, like, music's kind of been something you've been into, and
no, actually, music was something that I was into since I was very little. Like, in Mexico, I had an uncle who would play guitar, and he would always play it, and I'd ask him if I could try it. He would say no, because I'd fuck it up. And, you know, at the end of the day, he just let me see him. And, you know, when I was very little, there was a lot of financial problems and problems within the family. Not just financially, and then the only thing that kept me away from all that shit was seeing my uncle play the guitar, and I was like, dude, that's kind of what I want to do as I get older, you know?
Yeah, so you said your name is Louis or Luis?
Yeah, Luis.
Luis, so on YouTube, it says Lenny, I think, on there.
That's a nickname that started from when I moved over here. People just kind of, they saw I liked a girl with the nickname of N-E-N, and then they're just, like, mixing the name, and they call me Lenny, and then it just kind of, like, stuck like that, you know?
What was the girl's name that you liked?
Her name was Adeline.
Adeline.
Yeah.
You guys were, like, how did the names mix? What was it?
Okay, so they would call her Nene, and they would call me Lele. It didn't work out because my first two initials are LL, you know? So they're just like, that doesn't work. Let's just call you Lenny. And, you know, it kind of just stuck on from there on.
Like Brangelina, like that kind of thing. Like mixed.
Correct.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't mean all of a sudden you were into music, though. I meant all of a sudden you had this guitar. So, like, you got the guitar, and you were into music your whole life, and basically you saw your uncle playing, like, all this kind of music. What was the first, like, music you got into? Like, it looks like your videos. Was it metal that you were, like, originally into?
That is great. Like, what happened is maybe I was about 6, 7 years old, and I was seeing my uncle play, you know, to Red Hot Chili Peppers, System of a Down, Rammstein, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
And whenever I would hear him, I was like, dude, that's kind of something I would like to do. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, I met people along my journey, you know, that like metal or house music or electric.
Yeah.
And, you know, rap or trap or anything, and like I just kind of started implementing those elements into my playing, like from rap to electric to metal to rock and roll, you know. But it all started with new metal, like I guess people call it, like, you know, the whole early 2000s Linkin Park, System of a Down kind of thing.
Yeah, I like Deftones from that era. System of a Down is really good.
That was all around, you know, Rammstein, et cetera, you know.
Yeah. So you started playing, like, when did you, you said you got the guitar at 10, you had this, like, kind of shitty replica guitar. What was the music you started playing? Like, you were just messing around, or when did you start?
I actually started with two songs. One was ATWA by System of a Down, and then the other one was Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson. And they're so simple, dude, you know, they're, like, really simple. And then as time went on by, I started seeing other players, and I'm like, dude,
right,
like, there's much more to do, you know?
Who was, like, the first, like, your uncle, you said, was, like, the first person that kind of got you into it? Like, who was, like, your mentor, I guess, along the way? Or did you have, like, a mentor? Did you, like,
I actually did. I had about 4 mentors, actually, and each one of them kind of just drifted their own way as time went on by.
Right.
So in my freshman year in high school in Saddleback in Santa Ana, there was a Spanish teacher who was a Spanish teacher, just, you know, taught all those curriculums in Spanish and whatnot, foreign language, but he had a guitar club after class and was called a guitar club. And I went in there, and he was just teaching people simple chords, you know, like A minor, B minor, whatever, you know, the simple shit.
Yeah.
And I really admired the way he had to teach, and, you know, he would sit down with me, and after the whole club was done, he would sit down with me and teach me individual stuff, because I really showed interest.
Yeah.
And besides him, there was another guy named Joe Christina. He has his own program called Octac. And he also was teaching students who wanted to learn music,
yeah,
you know, teaching them individual. He took his time. And then I had some friends along the way. My friend Jonathan, you know, he taught me a few things from, like, Metallica albums and shit. And then I had a few other friends who just kind of showed me riffs and was like, man, this is cool. But as time went on by, you know, I looked out there and I can see greater techniques, greater movements, whatever, and I'm like, man, I gotta get in on that.
Yeah, for sure. So you had these people kind of teaching you. At what point did you feel like you can start teaching yourself, or was that something that you did all the time, or you're just kind of trying things?
What happened is that after some time, I would try to play music with people, and they would kind of just bell on me, and then I kind of just came to the point where I was like, you know what, I'm just going to make my own exercises, my own rhythms, whatever. And maybe I was at maybe 18, 19,
yeah,
and I was like, you know, I'm going to start doing my own riffs and shit.
Right. You said you play with other people, and they would do what with you? They would bell on you? Or what does that mean?
Yeah, like, we would jam, and I would have a group going on, and then one excuse or the other, and they would just kind of bell out on me, you know?
Oh, Okay, you said they bail on you. So like you, when you said I looked at your older like post, but you had a band in high school. It's called Panic. Was that
Oh
one of
yeah.
the? Was that your?
Yeah, that
So.
Panic was actually one of the very first band that started being actual success. We played at the Key Club, we played at the Queen Mary, you know, we played everywhere in California. We get hit up left and right to play shows, and what happened there is that like there was music differences. Some of the people wanted to play faster and some of the other people wanted to play more groovy, and it just didn't work out at the end.
Oh, okay. Is that like something that you regret or like you wish didn't happen, or do you kind of wish that they stayed together, or is that something that?
No, actually, at first when it happened, I was like, oh man, this is the most fucked up shit ever. But then as time passed on by, I was like, you know what? It's better because that means I can open up more to what I can do. Because that band was like a thrash, aka metal band.
Yeah.
It was just speed and kind of stuff like that. But now what I play is very oriented everywhere. I can touch any field of aspect, like hip hop, metal, thrash, whatever it is, and I just kind of vibe with it, you know?
Yeah, I was going through like some of your stuff. Like you play a lot of different styles, and I'm surprised you don't have more views. Like it's awesome. I really my favorite stuff's like the newer stuff, and I saw that there's this one band that you like a lot. I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Chon or Chon or like how do you?
Sean. Yeah, those guys actually were shown to me by a name by a guy named Ricky. I call him Avocado Ricky Avocado. He's on Instagram too. He's one of my friends in there. And that guy one day around 2012 or 2011, he showed me this band called Chon. And that song, along with all these other bands, are really really great progressive math rock kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I just kind of fucking I hit off right off with it. You know, I feel like sometimes I really like those vibes a little more than him. Who knows? I don't know. But
Yeah.
he really he introduced me to that, and ever since I'm like, man, there's so much more shit you can do with music, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I have a bunch of friends that are into metal, and it seems like some of them just kind of get stuck into this like metal hole, like they just love metal their whole lives and nothing else.
No, there's so much more, man.
Yeah, and it's cool. Yeah, it's cool to see like I guess like a metalhead, kind of early metalhead kind of guy. Like you were in a lot of music, but definitely seems like new metal was like the beginning. But you get into like all these different styles, and
Oh yeah.
yeah, it's really cool. But yeah, that style. I was listening to them yesterday just because I was like trying to get into the vibe before I interviewed you. And yeah, it's really cool. Like I like their style. Have you seen the movie? It's the one that just came out like 2 years ago. Oh, it's Your Name, basically. It's this. It's literally the word your in name. Like people think I mean their name, but this Japanese movie, this band Radwimps does the soundtrack for it, and like the guitar style they do for that's like kind of cool. Like I think there's a lot of rock and roll bands in Japan. Like they do rock and roll completely different over there, but it's kind of similar to what we did in America, but like they're having their own kind of revitalization over there, and they just do rock and roll music in this really interesting way. Have you listened to any of that?
No, I actually haven't, but that sounds interesting. I might look into it actually.
Yeah, I can send you a few tracks if you want to check it out. But
Yeah, for sure.
yeah, I appreciate you kind of telling your story, man. And you know, I'll keep my eye out, keep in contact. But yeah, dude, I appreciate it. And then.
Hey, this is Chris's story, and he is a guy I actually met randomly after a concert. I was walking out of this concert trying to get home early, and I saw that there was this guy that walked in who was getting onto the piano, and I watched him play. And before he went on, he asked the bartender, he's like, is it fine if I play? Like, you'd let me play one time before this. And he was concerned that his playing style was intrusive on other players. And I basically just told him, or I suggested that one of the best things he could do is just do it. Just practice, play with other people. And he felt that that was some helpful advice. And he actually was really good. His style is different from anything. It's really unique. It's idiosyncratic. It's different from anything I really heard. And here's his description on Instagram. Free improv piano, permacultural enthusiast, dad jokes, and sportique apparel rep and for all these different states. His name's Chris Welch. Chris C. Welch, underscore Chris C. Welch dot X on Instagram. And his piano is really cool. I think you should check out some of the stuff he's posted on there. And I'll see if I can link some in this podcast description. But he plays for a bit. And I recorded it on video at first. And for some reason, the video cut out. I guess I wasn't recording or something happened. The video was lost. I think I recorded it in some of the, how the app I was using shut off. And so I actually lost a lot of the audio. And I did post some of it onto Instagram on my story. And he, yeah, he's self-taught. He's been playing for 20 plus years. Hasn't really played with anybody, but he wants to start playing with groups. And there's a jazz night that goes on at this place. It's called Cornish Pasty, and it's the one in Phoenix. And they have this lounge area, and they do jazz night every Tuesday. And it's just something that he wants to do. And I just brought up the reference of back in the day, the big bands, there's like 30 musicians or whatever. The guy that wanted to be on the team, be on the band, he probably had to get his licks in. He had to start, maybe play 1 minute, maybe do like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and keep getting that experience and also getting his proving himself to the rest of the band before he really could enmesh himself. And we kind of have that in some regards, but what I'm hoping is to see that be more common. There's more organizations, more mini cultures, subcultures that are raising people's abilities and skills to a higher level. And so Chris right now just talks about what he has done. He's built a piano room where he actually plays and talks about what he does. And he improvises, plays piano on the spot, kind of just off the top of his head. And when he first started playing, the first few notes were really tentative, and I was kind of scared for him, honestly. I wasn't sure what he was going to play. And then he got into the groove of things, and it was really good. So check out what he says. Didn't really get into his process either. So that's going to be something that we'll get into in future episodes where we talk to people how they actually practice, what they did to get their level, and maybe some more of the technical stuff that I'm into and a little bit nerdy about. And I think that should be interesting and very enlightening. So here we go, Chris Welch, free improv piano player.
I have two pianos and a keyboard in my house. Like I built a recording studio that can handle. I have an 80-year-old concert grand piano with a room that's perfectly built to absorb its sound.
Yeah.
And I created it just on a inkling, like a intuition that like if I could live another year and another year after that, I'll get better at the piano. I will.
Yeah, you should invite people to your... That sounds like an awesome place to play music. It's in Tempe. I have some buddies...
I tried to start a piano, and I just want a piano. Like, other people play the piano,
yeah.
Entertain each other. I've been wanting that forever.
What? How big is the space that you're talking about? Could, like, a band play there?
Yes and no. Like, I have the house, so we've actually had...
Could, like, a three-piece band set up in there?
Yes. Not...
Just them, not an audience.
No, because the piano takes up the space that the band would set up at.
Okay.
Like, maybe a guitarist could, maybe, like, a two ensemble. But yeah. There's a couch area, and then there's, like, the bass, the piano shoots out at, like, the couch area. It's like a 20 by 20 space, I would think.
Okay. I was wondering, because I have some buddies that they're in a band that's really, they're really good, actually.
We've done an outside thing off my patio into the backyard. And the backyard is nice because for the past 5 years, I've, like, went down the rabbit hole of just growing a bunch of plants and shit.
That's so sick, yeah.
Nice.
So you've done like a lot of different crafts throughout your whole life. Like you started off like with what?
Drawing.
Drawing?
I like to draw.
Yeah.
I felt like I was pretty good. But that dropped off. And yeah, and then I liked writing for a while. I was a literature major.
I'm just now like, I've dabbled in like a lot of different things, and like I've always wanted to be good at drawing. I'm just awful at drawing. I don't know, like.
Yeah, it was like a child thing. It was just like he clung onto it for a minute, and then
yeah.
I just kind of was like, okay. Anyway, sorry.
Like, with me right now, like it's just hard putting pencil to paper since.
Well, what do you like to do? I'm sorry.
I'm
clear on that.
Oh well. My main thing right now, creative expression-wise, is probably my writing. Like, I write poetry a lot. Like, I have a couple poems here.
I did it for years, man. I really enjoy poetry.
If you want to check out...
I mean, when I was in college, that's really mainly between that and, like, of like a philosopher's just, like, his... I think they call it... I forget what they call it, but just, like, his ideas.
Who
besides
was it?
That, it was, like, poetry. That's,
what? Which philosopher?
Genres. I was a minor in philosophy. I mean, I don't even remember, but I loved reading that shit.
Yeah.
But I really got into the, like, creative writing.
Here's a poem that I wrote, if you want to check it out.
You can read it out loud or read it out loud. I don't have to.
Okay.
This one, it's just emo stuff.
Okay.
Right now.
Why does your voice sound different? Who are you now? In a matter of weeks, I have lost you completely. You wandered off, and now you have participated in the orgies and rites of some dark religion, which I have no part in. You smile, Mona Lisa, and seek pleasure in lying to me. In every way you sought to hurt me, you hurt me. The revenge against my heart, the holocaust on our love.
Yeah,
it's
got an Otterbox, it's fine.
I got it. And now you have participated in the orgies and rites of dark religion, which I have no part of. See, with that, you hurt me. The revenge. Sorry, I didn't get it.
I think you're
the holocaust on our love, right?
Yeah.
Was successful beyond measure. Why pretend? Why pretend? Why pretend? Why pretend? Reality will always be, and your untethered mind will never change these things that I loved you completely, took care of you, fed you, made you silly bed.
Made your silly bed.
Made your silly bed. Was honest to you, was willing to sacrifice my life for you. Remember, all of the little things that you said and did, I thought the universe too small to contain you and me. I wasn't perfect. I didn't need to be, and honest, and all I wanted was honesty. Why flaunt your ugly disdain for our connection? You are a stench in my memories, the lovely worm that ate the apple in my heart and thought you were better than me, and let those thoughts be your security. One day we will meet again in the other lifetime, in another lifetime or three, and let there be silence between us, no exchange of energy. The depths to which you have stilled something which loved to dance is enough to make the atoms of my heart break apart in sadness.
Thanks for reading that. Cool, guys. It's a lot of me talking today, a lot of interview, a lot of whatnot and whatnot and whatnot. So I didn't go into everything that's going on. Some other things, like what day is today? 4 days till I have my conversation in Spanish with my friend, and that's happening in 4 days. So what I'm going to do tomorrow, or if I can't set it up tomorrow because it might be too late, I'm going to request to have a 5-minute conversation with a coach on italki. I'm going to practice there. Yeah, so we'll see that. Then I'm going to have to... And then I have a 2-week goal that I'm going to set up with my... I haven't decided which one I'm going to do yet. I think that the 2-week goal I'm going to do next will be training the dog. So that means what I want to do is buy a clicker, do clicker training with her, teach her
the basic skills, and I think there's probably a list online of the basic skills you need to teach a dog for them to be obedient. But the main issue is biting. She bites people. We need to teach her to stop biting. It's not bad. It's just like nibbling on their ankles when they walk upstairs and stuff like that. She's just a puppy. So the two-week goal, start doing that. And there was another goal. Oh, yeah, the winner's game is ongoing, and writing that currently. The first chapter is up. The next chapter is about the health game, how your health impacts your ability to learn and your ability to succeed. And it's the winner's game, and the idea right now is to divide it into different games within it, because games are play and their process, and the environment changes and the rules change based on all that. And so we're going to talk about the different games. So the health game is the next chapter. How do you play the health game? How do you succeed and win at the health game? And it just makes it more fun, I think, too, to think about the idea of the Joy Scouts. We're playing these different games because life really is about different games. You should read the book Infinite Game to hear about this infinite game that is bigger than these finite games that people play of money and chasing all those things, and how life really is a big infinite game with the rules and environment changing, but in a sense it's a game. There are rules without there being rules. So more you listen to the Joy Scouts, the more you get into this lifestyle of whatever this is, whatever we're creating together, you'll understand this paradoxical thinking. And why do you want to understand it? It's because life is more deep and fulfilling when you think about it as a becoming and an unfolding, and you experience it without judgment. I think it's important to have consistent values, but I also think that there are exceptions to that, and it's very important to understand judgment in the balance of that. And I think that games are a good framework for practicing judgment, because it's about making decisions in the moment, and you can't write. If you're literally going to write out what it's like to play soccer, I think the first book would be 10,000 pages for a single game, and just from Lionel Messi's perspective. First, I put the right foot forward. Then I put the left foot forward. See how crazy that would be? It's a wordless thing. It's an action. Actions speak louder than words. I'm rambling. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Let's get on to the summary of this podcast. So the first part was the interview with Louis. Really, this guy has an awesome vibe. And anybody that's committed to making awesome music, there's got to be a good vibe there. Yes, musicians can be assholes, but this guy came across really cool. Then we had Chris, once again, cool guy. He's been playing music for piano for 25 years, he said. I don't know how old he is, but he said he like built this room and has a house and all this stuff. And he said dad jokes on his profile. I don't know if that means he's dad or what, but seems like a very mature man. And I don't know where I'm going with that. Really, really talked about his skill about free improv piano, and I wish there was more of that interview left, but what I'm hoping, and I don't think he replied yet, what I was hoping to do was have him do the transitions of this episode, have the piano playing. So hopefully I can get that done in the next 5 minutes and see if he got a reply. If not, maybe next couple episodes we'll have some piano from Chris. What's his last name? Anyways, thanks for listening. Hope this podcast has been informative. It's been fun to do, and I really appreciate it.
Happy learning.